When Microsoft executive John Wood took a rare vacation to Nepal, he never expected it would completely transform his life. Trekking through the Himalayas with his guide Pasupathi, Wood visited a local school where he discovered a stark reality. 70 students crammed into spaces meant for 35, and a library that was merely an empty room with a few random books locked away from eager students. The headmaster's simple request, "Perhaps, sir, you will someday come back with books," struck a deep chord. That evening, reading the Dalai Lama's The Art of Happiness by candlelight, Wood reflected on his privileged position and his own childhood love of reading. How could he ignore these children's hunger for knowledge? Before leaving Nepal, he sent an impassioned email to friends requesting book donations, a small act that would snowball beyond his wildest dreams. What if one simple yes could change not just your life, but the lives of millions of children around the world? Back at Microsoft, Wood's mind kept returning to Nepal while his modest book drive exploded. Approximately 3,000 books arrived at his parents' home, forcing his father to clear the garage for storage. When Wood returned to Nepal with nearly 1,000 pounds of books, the reception was overwhelming. Children formed a corridor, placing marigold garlands around visitors' necks and offering flower petals. Seeing their excitement as they encountered colorful books for the first time, pointing at photos of exotic animals, planets, and puppies, crystallized his purpose. With Nepal's 23,000 villages and 70% illiteracy rate, plus similar conditions across developing countries, he felt compelled to think bigger. After witnessing a disappointing visit from Bill Gates to China and feeling the growing disconnect between effort and outcome at Microsoft, Wood made his decision. He resigned, telling his boss, "I can't work here anymore. My priorities have shifted pretty radically." 6 weeks later, he was flying to San Francisco, beginning his new life. Starting a nonprofit presented challenges similar to launching a tech startup, with the added complexity of cross-cultural operations. Wood applied his Microsoft-honed entrepreneurial mindset, focusing on scalability, efficiency, and data-driven decisions. His breakthrough came through the Draper Richards Foundation, which funded social entrepreneurs like venture capital investments. Wood impressed venture capitalist Bill Draper with concrete metrics, growth projections, and their co-investment model requiring local community contributions, securing a vital 3-year grant. Wood embraced fundraising as mission critical, developing core principles: create personal connections through shared educational values, demonstrate direct donation to result links, emphasize efficiency, show authentic passion, and connect with people's desire for meaning. He rejected pity-based appeals, his Sally Struthers weep-a-thon, focusing instead on hope and solutions. This positive approach particularly resonated with Silicon Valley donors accustomed to investing in solutions rather than problems. As the organization grew, Wood recognized they needed stronger leadership and a more expansive name. Aaron Keown Gonju became his crucial second-in-command, offering to work for minimal pay to launch operations in Vietnam. After a wine-fueled brainstorming session, they landed on Room to Read, a name both literal and metaphorical that captured their mission while being easily translatable across cultures. Wood envisioned creating a global network of volunteers who would collectively raise millions, reinventing large-scale philanthropy. In his journal, he wrote, "The Andrew Carnegie of the 21st century will not be a rich white male. It will be a network of concerned global citizens, and we will create it." The response was enthusiastic, with fundraising teams emerging in major cities worldwide. By 2005, a spirited competition developed between chapters. London raised $100,000, only to be outdone by Hong Kong's $330,000 event. Support came from unexpected places too, like 8-year-old Creepily from Tennessee, who saved her pocket money and planned to fundraise $8,000 to build a school in Nepal, showing how the mission resonated across generations. Despite his painful departure from Microsoft, Wood brought valuable business principles to Room to Read. Steve Ballmer's manic focus on results became a cornerstone of their approach, refusing to accept excuses and demanding tangible progress. To differentiate from thousands of other charities, Wood implemented a results-focused approach, including their achievements in every email signature. Schools built, libraries established, books donated, girls on scholarships, creating constant accountability. Microsoft's culture encouraged vigorous debate regardless of hierarchy. Attack an idea, but not a person. As room to read grew, Wood sometimes struggled when team members challenged his decisions, particularly about growth pace or overhead spending. Through healthy debate, they reached compromises that strengthened the organization. Being data-driven was another crucial lesson. The expectation to know your numbers meant intense preparation and understanding every facet of operations, a standard Wood applied when interviewing candidates, once rejecting an experienced development director who couldn't answer basic questions about their organization's achievements or countries of operation. In developing countries, women face greater hardships than men due to cultural biases starting in childhood. Nepal's literacy statistics tell the story. 75% of adult women are illiterate versus 39% of men. Room to Read's Room to Grow scholarship program addresses this inequality, supporting girls like Anita in New Delhi, who resisted her parents' plan to end her education for marriage. Wood maintains that girls' education isn't merely a women's issue, but a human rights concern requiring support from all genders. The 2004 tsunami demonstrated Room to Read's entrepreneurial spirit. Though they had no presence in Sri Lanka, Wood immediately pledged to rebuild schools, telling his contact, "If you visit a village that has lost its school, tell them that we will find the money to rebuild it." Support poured in, from corporate matching programs to children's fundraising stands. Within a year, they had reopened 22 schools, with 16 more nearly complete, proving that swift action often outweighs perfect planning when addressing humanitarian crises. When Wood turned 40 in January 2004, he felt no midlife crisis. Despite the trade-offs, renting instead of owning a home, failed relationships, financial struggles, he loved his work more than most. His birthday gift to himself? Committing his potentially most productive decade to universal education. His advice for world changers is straightforward. Stop talking, start acting. Think big from day one. Bold goals attract bold people. Move quickly. Analysis paralysis kills momentum. Create ownership through challenge grants, requiring communities to contribute land, labor, and materials for sustainability. Build a network, not an empire. Power comes from collective action across continents. Focus on results, not intentions. Tangible achievements create accountability and motivation. What begins as bringing books to a single school can cascade into a global movement transforming millions of lives. The revolution continues with each book opened, each school built, each girl educated. The question isn't whether you have enough resources or experience, it's whether you'll take that first step when opportunity knocks. As Wood discovered in the Himalayas, sometimes saying yes to a simple request sets extraordinary things in motion.